One mem zayin amid base. Two lines from the top. Beivav kamahavi mitzig alamisa. They had this bed that was easily assembled, like we had yesterday. Havi mahadri la biyom tov. They assembled it on Yom Tov. Omele ahumid babanin. One of the babanin said, "Vava my detai. What are you doing over here? Binyan minitzanu." Okay, you didn't make something directly. It wasn't a direct building. It was a binyamin etzad. It was done on ayidei shinoi. So binyamin etzad, bunehid yisur deraisa leka. It might not be an yisur deraisa, aval yisur derabanan miayika, but it is a mid derabanan over here. And this is going on the brights that we had yesterday. At least let it be a binyam with a shinoi should be also mid derabanan. Omalei Anik of Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel severely. I hold like Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel. That was the brisa that we had yesterday. If it's very loosely assembled, it's mutter. Rashi Amita Galanisa, that's the name of a place, the Galil Stama, is a Tirndin, is a Hukain Shel Tarsium, like we had yesterday. Minatzad, the Kanesha Ainu Tekuat. What does it mean, binyan min atzad? Since you didn't fix it firmly in place, so just real quickly, we'll just say what the halach is over here. But this is we mentioned it yesterday. It's a little complicated, but we have the things that are not normally assembled firmly. Okay, you don't have to put it together bechozek. These things are mutter to put. So yesterday I had a conversation with someone in the end of the day. Sure, a good case would be the baby chair, right? The tray that comes in and out. He actually told me that someone said in the name of someone, Rebbe Liashov, that it was also. I didn't understand this. I showed him in the sefer that I was learning that people are makel. That things that are normally put together loosely, you're allowed to put together loosely on Shabbos. Things that are normally put together firmly, all right, we're talking about a screw yesterday. That will be also for anyone to put it together firmly. Things loosely, you're allowed to reassemble it loosely. Things that are firmly, we don't put that are normally done firmly, we don't want to put together loosely because we're afraid we might come to put it together firmly. Okay, so therefore screws. It depends on what is the screw being put into. I just want to clarify from yesterday. We'll give the example of the shtender. Because the shtender is really a machloket. The Shlomo Zalman Orbach matters a shtender. You know, you have the screws on a shtender. That would seem like a classical case of putting something together firmly. But there's two reasons why a shtender would be mutter. One, it's normally every day loosened and hardened. It's the thing that's meant. You have it down when you're low, or when you're learning, and you put it up when it's higher. And two, very nice kiddush over here. A shtender is two pieces. Right, there are two distinct pieces over here that the Borg is attaching to each other. One thing would be usher. Two things with the fact that it's open and closed, he mounted over here. But one should be careful on Shabbos with a screw attaching these together. Over here, you have a head to with a shtend. I'd be afraid to apply it to other areas without getting the sugya completely clear. So, but one should be aware that this is what's going on over here, is a screw. But something that's normally loosely put, assembled on Shabbos, you're allowed to put it together on Shabbos from the Rebbe Shimon Gamaliel. Last mission in Kira. Nodim Kali Tachin in there, we saw this already. You're allowed to put a dish or whatever underneath the nail, a kava mitzutzos, in order to take the sparks that sputter from the candle. You're allowed to put a kli underneath it. V'lo yitein l'tocha mayim. But you're not allowed to put in this kli water. Mepnei shehu mechaveh. Because the water will extinguish the sparks. Gemara. Why should it be mutter? When I put the kli underneath the candle over here, it's v'ha kimevato kli mehekono. This is something that we had before. There's a type of mukser that we paskin is usser, that if I take something that has a usage on Shabbos and I do something with it, which means I can't use it anymore. For example, your ceiling is caving a little bit, so I take a chair and I put it underneath the beam to hold up the beam over here. I can't use that chair now. because I was mevatel, I nullified the chair from its purpose. I can't use it. It's now using to hold up something. I made something else on Shabbos. That's the type of moksa. I'm not allowed to be mevatel kli mehechono. So if I take this dish now on Shabbos and I put it underneath the candle and the sparks are falling into it, now something fell into it that I can't move it now. Something is there that became moksa. Rabbi Yehuda over here, right? So I can't use it. That's called mevatel kli mehechono, and that shouldn't be allowed. So why over here are we allowing one to put a kli underneath the net to accept the sparks from it? V'hak mevatel kli mehechono. So mevatel kli mehechono. Rashi. V'hak mevatel kli mehechono. So lo yuchal didlu misham. Now you can't take it from there. Kol hayom. Dinasa basis l'nitzutzos. It made a basis for these sparks. And yet you see you can't do it. So let this Mishnah be a tiyufta to Rav Chisda that says it's also to mevatel kli mehechano. Over here you see that we are being mevatel kli mehechano. The answer is Omer Rav Huna b'Rei de Rav Yeshua mitzutzos ein behem mamish. It doesn't have any substance to it. These little sparks that came off, it's so insignificant. Rashi says there's no substance to it. You can move it around. It's not called Yimavatin a Kli Mehechano. There's a few sparks. I don't know what happens after the spark falls. Maybe there's a little black, you know, mark over there or something. But there's nothing over there. That's not called Yimavatin a Kli Mehechano. And therefore it's Mutter. So the Mishnah went on and said, you're not allowed to put in this, you're allowed to put the vessel over there. It's not called Mevata Kli Mehechano, but you're not allowed to put water in it. Why? Because it might come to extinguish. So let's see what that is exactly. Lema Tanan Stamik Rebbe Yossi. This is a Stam mission over here. And later on in the Masechta, we're going to have a Machloket Rebbe Yossi and Chachamim. We're going to deal with fires. For those who deal with fires on the Moshav, fires get very dangerous and people get very confused when a fire is going on. So there's a fire on Shabbos. Is there anything you could do? We're going to see when we get to the later parakim, when we talk all about fires. There's a concept that a person gets confused, and if we don't allow him to save things, he might come and just put out the fire. So we see that even though the Rabbanan hold that you can't cause things on Shabbos, you don't do grummas on Shabbos, when it comes to fires, we see that the Rabbanan became very mako. You're allowed to save a certain amount of food, all kinds of things. You're allowed to take things out into the chatzir. So one of the things the Chachamim say you can do is when you have a fire, you can surround it with vessels. New vessels, old vessels, vessels that are filled with water, all kinds of things. You can make a wall to block the flame. Rabbi Yossi agrees with Chachamim, except for brand new kli keres, ceramic vessels that are filled with water. Because he says for sure they're going to break. You put a kli keres in the line of a fire filled with water, the fire is going to come to it. It hasn't been tempered, I think is the word. And all of a sudden it's going to burst. The water is going to come out and it's going to be gorim kiboy h. It's going to cause the extinguishing of the fire. Rabbi Yossi says that's awesome. Chachamim don't agree with it. But yet we see over here, what are we worried about putting this water in the pot, in the plate over here? You're worried that you might cause the coming out of fire, the putting out fire? That's Rabbi Yossi. If so, we have a Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi. And that's important. It's a Mopaskan like Rabbi Yossi. Okay? So if this Mishnah is like Rabbi Yossi, we're going to Paskan it. And we'd rather not. We'd rather have more coolers with these things than more chumras. So the Gemara is going to try and prove that the halacha is not, this mission is not like Rabbi Yossi. This is going to have implications on how far do we take it. Do we say that you're allowed to gorim? Normally we don't do any grummas on Shabbos. But with fire, it's something different. Do we pasul like Chachamim that grummas are mutter on Shabbos with fire? Or like Rabbi Yossi? So lema tanan stamik Rabbi Yossi. Do you make gori kiboy? The Omer, Gorim Kiboy, the Kiboy Asa. Tzivashi, Kirebi Yossi, the Kol Kitzvi HaKodesh. That's the parak that deals with fire. We'll see later on. Tikitani Ose Mechitza, the Kol HaKelim, Bein Meleim, Bein Reiknim. You're allowed to make a Mechitza, a wall against the fire, with all kinds of vessels, whether they're filled with water, whether they're empty. Kidei Shalota Avor Adeleka. In order that the fire shouldn't go in its path. Rabbi Yossi also bekli cheres chadashim Mleim Mayim. He forbade using a Kli Cheres, it's brand new, filled with water. Shein Yechal Nakabala Or. Because that can't withstand the fire. Vehem Mitvakim, they will break, burst. So that he ushers. That's Rabbi Yossi's Shita. Lema cannot stomach Rabbi Yossi, Yomei Gorm Lekiboy Usher. Fetisbara? Is it logical to say that our Mishnah, our case over here, is the same case that we're going to see later on? When Rabbi Yossi said his din that you can't take the vessel filled with water on Shabbos, it's for sure, it's on Shabbos he's dealing with. The fire broke out on Shabbos. You're making the wall on Shabbos. What's our Mishnah talking about? Erev Shabbos or Shabbos? Oh, we're going to see. We're going to prove that it's talking about Erev Shabbos. The Tizbara Eimer Diomer Rabbi Yossi, B'Shabbos, B'Erev Shabbos, Miomer. Who said that he would forbid that on Erev Shabbos? On Shabbos itself, there's an issue to be caused the flame to go out, but not on Erev Shabbos. Miyoma, who said? Vechitema Hachinami b'Shabbos. And if you want to say Hachinami here, our mission is talking about Shabbos? Nope, it's not true. We'll bring him a first brisa that discusses our Mishnah, and it's going to show that it's going on Erev Shabbos. Vetanya. You're allowed to put the vessel underneath the nair on Shabbos to receive the sparks. So if I could do it on Shabbos, I don't even have to tell you that you could do it Erev Shabbos. The price continues and says you're not allowed to put water in it because it will come to extinguish it on Erev Shabbos. I don't even have to tell you on Shabbos. If I can't do it Erev Shabbos, certainly can't do it on Shabbos. So we see that can't be Rabbi Yossi. And the Gemara accepts that. Rabbi Yossi's din of when he said, Gorim Lechiboy Aser is only on Shabbos. But on Erev Shabbos, to do things to prevent a fire, that's not Rabbi Yossi. We don't know if Rabbi Yossi goes that far. So we don't know, we can't say that the mission is like Rabbi Yossi. Vashi, be Erev Shabbos. You're doing it Erev Shabbos. Maybe you want to say our Mishnah is talking about Shabbos. We're talking about Shabbos Gemara for Rabbi Yossi, and it is Rabbi Yossi. No, for Hatanya, we have a Mefarsh Brisa. Afilu be Erev Shabbos Asa. Even Erev Shabbos it's Asa. Ve'ila Garim Lekiboy Midamid Love Afilu Rabbi Yossi Lo Mitukma. And it's not considered. Rabbi Yossi doesn't set it up like that. The Erev Shabbos Lo Me Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi never said this thing Erev Shabbos. So, what's shot in our Mishnah? Who is our Mishnah like? Ella. And whenever you have an Ella in Gemara, it's always a retraction of what we said before. Ella, you're right. It's not Rabbi Yossi. Omer Rav Ashi Afilu Teimu Rabbanan. You could even say Rabbanan. That's more Mekel than Rabbi Yossi. You could say our Mishnah is even like Rabbi Rabbanan. Why? Our case is a little different. Afilu Teimu Rabbanan Shani Hakim Efinashim Mekarev Vere Kiboy. You are Korav. You are quickening the extinguishing. Meaning, come out with your dime. How do we understand this? Let's see Rashi. And we'll explain Rashi according to Tosfot. Elo me Rav Ashi, matnitin afilu Rabbanan. It's even according to Rabbanan that are more maker. The lo dami legorim kiboy. It's not comparable to putting out, to causing the flame to go out. Dahatam ki mati deleka lekelim, deleka u depacha. Why over there that you're allowed to put the vessel filled with water in a new kli cheres? Why is that allowed? It's causing. Because over there, you're not doing it. It's the delayka, it's the fire, the paka that explodes the kli cheres. Lahu v'gvoma, gvoma b'yalmahu. That's a gvoma b'yalma. The students need a gvoma b'yadayim, gvoma b'yalma. That's a gvoma b'yalma. Aval zeh, shenotin amayim mamish takan in there. If you're actually going to put the water underneath it, mechabim mamish. It's actually putting out. That's causing something to put out with your hands. Tosfot explains, either when you're putting it there, or in some action on Shabbos, when you're putting it there, it will put it out, and therefore it goes to Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. Meaning, what do you mean you're putting it out? As I'm putting the water, maybe a spark is flying out, will hit the water as I'm putting it down, and that will be extinguishing something. So therefore you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos, therefore even Erev Shabbos you're not allowed to do it. and we make a gezerah of Erev Shabbos onto Shabbos, Shemekarev et HaKiboy, Zimun Kiboy LaHedya, you're actually going to do Kiboy explicitly, V'Havelei Mechavim Mamash, you're doing it actually, Ihavi Yehevlei B'Shabbos, if you put it on in Shabbos, and therefore, you don't do it, and therefore we should know ourselves, that on, you're allowed to put a something underneath the candles, but on Erev Shabbos, sometimes people like a little tea, lictors, right? So when you light the tea lictors, you want to put on a plate with water on it, or a New York side candle sometimes on Shabbos. One should not put water on that plate when they put it on. It's a Mefurish mission over here.
What about oil on top of water?
What? Tosfot. Three lines from the bottom. Masha Regil in the last Tosfot. Letet Mayim Bezechuchit Shekoyim Lampa. Venotni Malaya Shemin, Be'er Shabbos. People a lot of times they'll put instead of filling the whole post with Shemin, they fill it half with water. Oh, that should be our case, like over here. So Tosfot takes this on. What are people there? They normally put it together. Ein Zekori Kivuv Kiboy. That's not called bringing something to extinguishing. Why? The Kivan Shein Mikavin Le Kiboy Klal. You're not putting the water in there to extinguish the oil. You did it to rise the shemen high. You don't want the shemen at the bottom of the coast. The candle will go in and it will cause a big mess over there. It might even break the glass. You want the shemen to be at the top part over there. So you put the water on the bottom. What? Oh, so the chuvas that go on him take care of that. Good. Chuvas go on him says that the mayim is not what's putting it out. It's the lack of oil that's putting it out. When does the water start going in? When the oil's finished over there. So it's the lack of the oil that's putting it out and not the water that's putting it out. So there's no psikratia. So between these two towns, you're not going to have a psikratia and you're not being mekavin for it to set the sparks. Rather, the whole purpose of it is to lift it up. Therefore, and again, Tosfot says, Mashur Agilim, Letate. I don't know if it's the most, whatever, it's mutter. No question about it. People do it. So the Rishonim, the Gaonim are taking care of it. There's no problem on it. Oh, so Tosfot actually asked. I'm not sure he was on the wall over here. I wasn't going to go through this Tosfot. Tosfot asked, "Afal kav tahavi kizera l'kizera." This kizera is l'kizera over here. He wants to tell it's not a kizera l'kizera, because the whole reason is that you're afraid if you put the water on Shabbos, as you're bringing the water in, you might cause kiboy mamish with your hands. But it's enough. You might do it. You might cause the kiboy via dime, and therefore where it goes on it. But again, the Mephoshim are bothered by what you're saying. Okay. In a case, well, we don't make up gezeiros. Chachamim over here felt that this was something to be worried about and to be goes on, and they are worried about it. Gezeiros. When you have these gezeiros, as many times for the chachamim, maybe you need both of them in order to have the first one to be mechazeket. But it's not going to be I just saw over here the Tosfot. I didn't see what the other mefoshim were dealing with on this case, but I did see big pieces in the mefoshim on this the vashi.
Why is there? Rashi says that if you put it on Shabbos, it's the right.
Oh, that's what Tosfot asks. He answers according to Rashi. It's not a gezer gezer over here, because you actually might actually come to put it out. Therefore, they would go to Erev Shabbos to Shabbos. So he's asking, because everything Erev Shabbos. We don't go to everything Erev Shabbos. Atmana, we go to Erev Shabbos, but not everything. Okay. Hajin alan kira, hajin alan kira, hajin alach kira, hajin alach kira, hajin alach kira. But Masai, we don't have to say that this is one of the most difficult parakim in Shas, and I heard yesterday, I told someone that I'm finishing Kira, and I'm going to do a Bekitzer review on it, and he said, good luck. He told me that it was said in the name of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, when he was a young boy, he asked his uncle, the Chazon Ish, what do you hold is the most difficult aspect of Shas? He wanted to put himself into it. And the Chazon Ish said, Perikura. The Perikura. We went through it. It's a tremendous accomplishment. I'm not going to judge what's the most halacha lemaisa perek in Shas, but at least until we get to the klal gadol, we're not going to have as much halacha as we had over here. It was The halacha is that a Yehudi needs in his house parakira, what has been packed with it. So we're going to give it a 10-minute go over here on covering some of the main points of the parak that we had, just for the purpose of review, to hear the concepts again, and it's always helpful. We started off the parak with Shia and Chazora. Shia is placing the food on the oven Erev Shabbos. Chazora is replacing it on Shabbos. In Shia, we had a tremendous machloket, Chananya and Chachamim. Okay, Chananya said, if the food is cooked at least, Kemaychel ben Drosai, which is a machloket we've shown him, if it's half or a third, you're allowed to put it on the oven, the stovetop, even though it's not Gvuf of the Kituma. You didn't clear out the fire in it. Once it's cooked a third, we're not worried about it. You can put it on. You don't have to clear out the coals. That's Shita's Chananya. Chachamim, they ushered it. It's usher to put food on the stove unless you cleared out all the coals. Unless it's cooked all its ways, it's cooked completely, and it's mitstamik viralo. It's not like a chulent that will get better as you cook it. It's like a piece of meat that, or they brought down wheat dishes, anything to do with flour, that this is mitstamik viralo, it'll get worse. But still, again, we're afraid that you might stir the flames over there. The Rif, the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, although like Chachamim, that we're machmir over here, that you have to clear out your stove before you put it in, unless it's cooked fully and it's mitstamik viralo. Rashi, the Tosfot, and the Ramah brings down, they hold like Chananya. Ramah says we're nagu, to be maker like Chananya, and the Bar Aruch explained, what can you do? What do you mean with Nogu? That Nogu Lahakil. The Mishnah explains is we can't prevent the people from doing it, but certainly people should be machmir like Chachamim, that you don't put food on an unbanked stove unless it's fully cooked and it's mitzamik v'ralo. A little after that, we had the dinim of Chazor. There's a machloket in the Gemara, how to read the Gemara, and then Lamais, that's brought down in Pesach, the Sephardim and the Ashkenazim. Ashkenazim hold that it should be in your hand when you take something off on Shabbos and you want to turn it back. It should be litchatchila in your hand, meaning you don't put it down, and you have your intentions to return it, even if it cooled down, as long as it didn't cool down completely. Sephardim says you're allowed to return it all the time that it's still hot. Yatzo let it go, even if you put it down and all these other things. We brought down the Mishnah of Ruah that says, Reshkenazim, even if you put it down by accidentally, or it was in your hands and you didn't have intention to put it back, you're allowed to do chazor on it. Halakhas of fire on Shabbos. A lot of halakhas in this. We're just going to go very bekitza. Cooking with or is usur. And any tolda of or, for example, if you have the hot tea kettle and you put an egg next to it, that's also an issur deraisa of cooking on Shabbos. Sunlight, we said, is mutter. If I just put an egg outside, it's mutter. Tolda the shemesh, meaning using something that was heated up for the shemesh, that was a machloket that we had, Tanakam and Rebbe Yosim, we spent some time on it. If it goes there, the toldas of the Kama, the toldas ha'or. If we say that it's usher to cook on a hot roof, or something, it gets very hot in the summer. You could cook an egg on it if that's usur or not. We paskin that tolda of kama is usur, and that brings into the whole dud shemesh problem. Why is dud shemesh is usur? It's a tolda of kama. That's the sugya. Maisa anche Tveria. Remember the members of Tveria had the hot waters over there, so they thought we have a great idea. We'll bring a tzinor right through it and heat up the water on Shabbos. They eat and drink and do all the things with it. And the Chachamim came in and they ushered it. If it's on Shabbos, it's usher in rechitz and shtia. You can't bathe and you can't drink with it. Yom Tov, it's usher in bathing, but you can drink with it, since anyway you could cook on Shabbos in order to cook on Yom Tov for Ochel Nefesh. So the Gemara on this point went into a big sugya on bathing on Shabbos. Mamaisa Me'ikur Adin, one is able to bathe on Shabbos from water that was heated up on Erev Shabbos. But because we had unscrupulous individuals that were heating the water up on Shabbos and saying it was from Erev Shabbos, therefore we ushered Bechitza Lekamre on Shabbos. You're not allowed to bathe your body on Shabbos on water that's heated up on Shabbos. But how far, what can you bathe? We had a machloket Vav Shmuel. Vav says you can, as long as you do every limb one at a time, or at least put one limb out of the bathtub, and you do the whole body except for one. We didn't pass like that. Rather, we pass like Shmuel, that you're allowed to wash your face, hands, and feet with water that was heated up Erev Shabbos on Shabbos. Today there's a problem, because the water that we get, since we have a Dud Shemesh, unless you turn off the valve that connects the hot water, you are not allowed to, once the sun hits your Dud Shemesh at a certain angle, you're not, that's water that's heated up on Shabbos already, and therefore you should not use your hot water. I don't know, you could make an experiment, 8, 9, 10 in the morning, when the sun rays are enough to start heating up the water for the new day. That would be us over there. Cold water, it should be from over here that you could bathe in cold water. Mishnah Berurah brings down Nagua Alam that we don't take showers at all on Shabbos. There was a Rebbe Kiva Eger in the Mishnah Berurah that says that someone's mitzvah, and I asked someone the other day, what is the, as for Shvardon, what is the getter of being mitzvah? I said, I'm an American. I take a shower every day. It smells bother me. He says, no, you have to be mitzvah. It has to be like, you know, you really feel, you know, gross about it. But then he said that's when you could use the Rebbe Kiva Eger. I know you can ask an American posting. It might be different than an Israeli posting. Bishul. Okay. So I asked Fritz Scheinberg all these things with. He said you be machmir on yourself and not with your wife and kids. He says you just should be careful in an uvda dechol. When you're bathing someone on Shabbos, they might think they might uvda dechol is you forget that it's Shabbos because you're doing something that's a weekday activity. He said just make sure if you're going to bathe over your kids, you're doing it in a way that they know that this is a Shabbos washing off and not a weekday washing off. Bishul, very bekitzer, kli rishon, absolutely usher, whether it's on the fire or if it's off the fire, usher. Pouring from a kli rishon, we had a machloket rishonim in Tosfot, so that have a din of a kli rishon, because it's going to at least cook the outer layer of it, or is a din of a kli sheni over there. Kli sheni, we say, is not mevashel, meaning if I take my pot, pour it into another pot, now that second pot is enu mevashel chutz Mekali Bishon. Things that are very easily cooked, we hold a kli sheni in machloket that the Rav brought down, even kli meyer, that would be. Water, the cooking of water, if it gets to yad, so let it go. And we had a machloket in shemen. And there's another way to cook up water. If you have a big thing of hot water, a big vat of hot water, by putting a little bit of water in, that little water would get to yad, so let it go. That would be asur. That's one of the problems of a dude shemesh also. Then we went into the second part of the perek. His perek was just incredibly packed. I'm leaving out half the dinner right now. Muksa. We covered a lot of fundamental understandings in muksa. First thing we all have to know in muksa, there's a tremendous machloket tanoim. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda holds eight lay muksa. He holds the general prohibition of muksa. Rabbi Shimon holds late lay muksa. And the Gemara spent a lot of time in understanding what Rabbi Shimon, when he says late lay muksa, there's many types of muksas that Rabbi Shimon would hold if he was going to sing. Rabbi Yehuda holds muksa, and there's a concept of called mikoi. The katsi le benish shemashos. If something is unusable, benish shemashos, katsi le kuliyoma. It's also for the whole day. That was in the muksa of Rabbi Yehuda, that when something is muksa, benish shemashos, it's unusable, we don't use it the whole day. We saw, as we saw over here, mevata kli mehechano. We had a case of a mace b'Shabbos. Someone dies on Shabbos, it's in the sun, it will get, it will start decomposing. So we had a sugi over there of tiltul minatzad, moving something mukser minatzad in the shinoi way, or by placing a bread or a child on top of the maid, now you could move the maid. That was a sugi over there. Then we got into the case of a ner yashon, a candle that was used, according to Rabbi Shimon, that's mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, again, it was mukser benish shemashos, you can't use a candle that was lit. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold to that. He allows you to remove a ner yashon, even though it really doesn't have any so much purpose. It's a bit mius. He allows it if you could find a purpose for it. Except unless it's lit. If the candle is lit, you can't move it. Okay, we had a steer later at the end of the parak. We just had it the other day with a buyer. Why can't you move it when it's lit? What are you going to do? You're going to extinguish it? It's a davashena mekavim. Right? Davar She'enu Mekavein is mutter to Rabbi Shimon. So why can't I move the candle on that's lit on Shabbos? Are you afraid it's going to extinguish? We're not afraid of that. Rather, we point out the dinim, and Rabbi Shimon agrees with this, of a basis l'dava asr. Since the flame is a dava asr, the whole candle, the whole apparatus, becomes a basis l'dava asr. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon agrees with the basis l'dava asr. You're not allowed to move it. Oh, that's all, but...
In Rav Shimon.
Good, okay. Good. What's the mitzvah that you might put it up? But Rabbi,
it
says...
that you use it for Shabbos. You're using it for Shabbos, just like Sukkah. The...
Oh. Okay, so Rabbi also brings down... Good. Think good about that. Muxel Machmas Mitzvah, it's something that was used for its mitzvah, like we have with the Sukkah. Even Rabbi Shimon agrees with the Muxel Machmas Mitzvah. Money on the Mukhani, the wheel over here becomes again a basis l'dava aser. The more I said over there, that made a kimta. If it's been a shemashal, for sure it's aser. Even if it comes on in Shabbos, you have to we consider it muksa. We had a quite a bit. If the halacha is like Rabbi Shimon, who passed like Rabbi Shimon? Not. We had the Chanukiah of in the case of the Chanukiah, when you lit it outside in the time of danger to bring it inside of the house over there, and the Gemara says you could be somek on Rabbi Shimon b'shas dechak. We had a whole thing with Beinu HaKodesh, if he's like Rabbi Shimon, if he's not like Rabbi Shimon, the getter in Rabbi Shimon. We spent a lot of time on Rabbi Shimon. The steer in Rabbi Shimon from the Bachor, right? When we had a Bachor, on the Bachor that it seems that it was muksa, and we have things that are so far removed from you. Erev Shabbos, that would be muksa according to Rabbi Shimon. And the other things that we finished up with a basis, l'dava asr, l'dava mutter. If it's the dava mutter is more chashuv to you than the dava asr, then it's mutter to move it on Shabbos. As we came into yesterday, we had a sugya of binyan. Right, assembling things, and we have Rabbi Shimon ben Gamaliel. If it's lightly assembled, you're allowed to do it. And we just finished off with a sugya over here. Akdama to Perek Lamad Tomni. We're going now the next few dafim. Again, a lot of muksa over here, but the issue of hatmana, of insulating things on Shabbos. We already had the hakdama at the end of the second perek. Hatmana on something that's mosif hevel. Something that will increase hevel, we don't even let you do it Erev Shabbos. You can't do it at all. Something that's like decomposing or something, or its intrinsic nature, its chemical composition causes heat to be produced, you're not allowed to insulate it with on Erev Shabbos. And we'll talk about the hot plates and how, why is that not with the heat coming up on it, we'll discuss it. On Shabbos, you're not even allowed to insulate with something that's not mosif hevel. A bunch of cotton clothing you're not allowed to put on on Shabbos, but Erev Shabbos you can. And the Gemara discussed it earlier. Why? This parak does have implications. Halacha l'maisa, you know, we don't always go camping, but sometimes you have a hafsecha kashmal, a power shortage, right? And there's your chulant on the black, and it's going to get cold. The first reaction would be cover it up to preserve the asur b'Shabbos. One should know that. And another way that
put into another kli, and then
That would be put into another kli. Oh, you have to be careful on that though. So we'll cover these things on it. Another aspect of hatmana would be partial hatmana, which we're going to cover in this parak quite a bit. And this is the classic halacha of covering a pot on Shabbos. That would be hatmana. If the pot is open, you put the kisoy, the cover on the pot, it can be problems. We'll see the getter of all this in this pasuk. That's one of the main halacha l'maaseh that we're going to have to understand from hatmana. The ma tomnim or ma ein tomnim. What can you do hatmana with and what can you can't do? What can't you do hatmana with? Anything that's mosif hevel. What can you do hatmana with? Only Erev Shabbos on something that's not mosif hevel. As Rashi says, the ma tomnim, habala sali kider mi agabi kira, you remove the pot from the kira, fitomina bedover acha, and now you want to insulate it. Fiyamu chachamim, the chachamim already said earlier, ein tomnim bedover mosif hevel, you cannot do hatmana with something that increases heat. Ela bedover hamamid hevel, only something that keeps the heat as it is. Mi hu hamosif yasa. The mission wants to talk about what are these things that are mosif hevel, and it's usher to do erev Shabbos. But my tomnim, my ain tomnim. Ain tomnim lo bekefet. You're not allowed to use refuse from olives. And we'll see, it's also talk about sesame. These things have a certain heat producing quality to them. For lo bezevel, guess because it's garbage, it's decomposing, it produces heat. For lo bemelach, the salt. For lo beseed, lime. For lo bechol, sand. Bein lachim, bein yivashim. Whether they're wet, moist, or dry, all of these have qualities that will cause heat to increase. Velo betevin, not with stubble. Velo bezagin, that's left over from grapes. Velo bemuchin, these are cottons and old clothing and things like that, soft objects. Velo beasavim, weeds. Bezman shem lachim, only if they are wet or moist. Aval tomnim behem kishem yivash, but if they're dried out, they're not going to cause any heat to be produced. Rashi, gefet, what is gefet? Pesulat shel beit habad. That's the leftover of the oil press, shel shemen. Shu kanus yachad v'chameyot. It's, I guess it's very compressed, and it's very hot. Lachin, yesh behem hevel harbe yotem yivashim. These things, when they're moist, they're going to produce a lot more heat when they're dry. Zagin, that's pesulat shel yiv yayin. That's the leftovers of the wine production. Muchin, kol davar rak, anything that's soft, kori muchin, that's called muchin. Kigon, tzemer gefen, katen, vetelishi tzemer rak, shel behema, any fleece taken off from behema, vegreiru begadim beloyim, and any scraping off of the leftovers of